started.
Alliance of Honorable Men, I've said to the leader to let you know to read the introduction. I'm going to go over the introduction with 4.5 decades of searching and studying. So I found out that even the Bible, if you don't have an apostolic age, that's something you're going to miss. If you don't have a prophetic dimension, that's something you're going to miss. So the first three things I want us to really understand is apostolic government, prophetic dimension, and pastoral overseeing. Those three must blend together for us to do an efficient job. In this introduction, I want to go over some things which is very clear, probably the whole introduction. Talk about the decade we are in. The 2020 is the decade of acceleration. And that's what I want transpiring in our churches, in our ministries, in our personal lives. There's a wisdom from God that all of us can accelerate. I'm working with 4 churches now. I'm going to work with some more of our churches to use some of the wisdom that God had given me over the years about accelerating in ministry. Maybe we can even do a better job now by having the apostolic government and the prophetic dimension, which I did not have in overseeing. The second point he pointed out, the quickening grace will be upon those who have been billing accurately. Now, I think there's some inaccurate billing among us, and that's what I want to uproot out of the building, that we build property, we build, you know, the 127th Psalm says, except the Lord build a house. Jesus talked about building on the rock, and Jesus talked about building on the word. So what we're going to do with myself and vision bearers, we're going to teach accuracy in building. In other words, there's some things we had to root out. There's some things we had to put in, because I believe in growth. I believe in development. I believe in sufficiency. So the quickening grace, that's one thing you want to think about, will be upon those who have been building, who have been building accurately. In other words, the quickening grace can't be on those who are not building accurately. And we're going to see a lot of things in his introduction. He says, according to the pledge of his presence, God's presence has to be known. Montreal, I got a feedback over there with that thing on. God's presence has to be known and has to be by the people that we're leading or mentioned to. God's presence has to be known that he's there. And when we build accurately, we're building according to the pledge of his presence, according to the pursuit of his purposes, to the prophetic dimension of his pattern for his house. So we got purposes, we got prophetic dimension, we got pattern. Now, this may sound like Sunday school, but it's not Sunday school, because if I'd had this 47 years ago, I wouldn't have went through all the things I went through. I ought to also point out what I know is very important, according to Matthew 4:4 and Isaiah 55:11, God is watching over the preceding word to perform it. So we have to make sure, we're going to find out further down the line, make sure that we're ministering the word of God. God can't back nothing else up. Now, where God's word is rightly divided, there are going to be all types of growth. And I'm not just talking about numerical with people. Everything will grow. And so that's important, that the preceding word, that word is constantly coming after you, constantly studying, you're constantly yielding to the presence of God. And this is one of the things that would activate the apostolic government and the prophetic dimension and the pastoral overseeing. Another statement they make, and I'm almost going word for word, those who have had a discerning ear, acted wide as his ear and heed his voice. So there in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 50, chapter 50, verse 4, it's talking about God has given us an ear to learn. So we have to have a discerning ear, even when we're ministering to people and people talking with us. We have to have not just hearing a sound, but we have to have a discerning ear, a ear that can see in the spirit realm and can hear in the spirit realm. And then he said, they have chosen to follow his word against all cleverly devised tales and myths. Now, there's a lot of stuff in the church right now that shouldn't be in the church. We're going to deal with it in a few minutes. But one of my man fortes all my life was John 15:7. Jesus, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, act what you will, it should be done. This. I am consistently to abide in the word. Another aspect of this introduction, he says, they have witnessed how contemporary thought pattern concerning the church and its activity are already bringing, watch this, compromise and liberalism into the sanctuary of God across the nation. Look at this and think about this, especially you who pastor in churches. There's a lot of books out, a lot of information, but contemporary thought pattern concerning the church and its activity are already bringing compromise liberalism into the sanctuary of God across the nation. That's in LTMA churches. We don't want none of that in our churches. We have to root it out as we go. For instance, a lady sitting behind my wife on Sunday, Spirit of God really falling. She tapped my wife on the shoulder, and she said to my wife, she said, had you ever heard about gold falling in services in the spirit? And Calvin told her, yeah, well, I've heard it before. She said, look on my arm. You can't hardly see it, but I got a little gold falling on me now in the service. And Calvin said to her, that's the Lord blessing you, and going on with our business. But, you know, things like that, I don't need no gold falling. Gold I can't spend, and that ain't scripture. See people getting moving around and getting messed around and being so spiritual. Just need to be down to earth and let this be led by the Spirit and use the Word of God. But there's a lot of compromising and liberalism. Liberal, that anything come in. We as overseers got to stop this stuff. Now, she better not never say I'm talking about she's seeing no gold in my service, because then I'm going to shut the whole gold system down, because that's not relevant. It's not scripture. It's not of God. People getting deep spiritually. Come on, they're seeing gold on each other. What good? You can't spend it? What good you going to do with it? Those type of things you got to watch out for. Those who believe the New Testament, now watch this. There are those who believe that the New Testament pattern were only relevant for the New Testament era, gaining momentum and acceptance. In other words, right now, the New Testament pattern are not good enough for the church today. The three things you said there. They believe you must choose a contemporary pattern for the present-day church. Absolutely untrue. And that's where the power is gone. Number two, they have gone to all extent to import the managerial pattern of the world system and Christianized it for wide acceptance. That's what's slipping into the church. That's what we've got to get out. Number three, they have structured the church as an organization of multinational cooperation, not souls, because the church got one pattern. This worldly system with its inhabiting spirit will manipulate the church to grind it to a halt. We're almost there at large. And so sometimes when you're different and you act different and you talk different and you function different, the church don't really recognize why you're that way or why you're going that direction. But you cannot let that shake you. We got to stick with the New Testament pattern, what the Lord Jesus said. What he said, what's going to happen when it happens, it will exhaust its leaders, divert its mission, and cause it to abort its purpose. It will exhaust, wear the leaders out, divert the mission, and abort the purpose. And these are the things in this 2020 we're coming into, and this acceleration in what the apostle is talking about is very important. Ephesians 2:2, Exodus 18:24-26. That was what I was supposed to read in the opening that was in this whole setting in Psalm 74. I think it described it well. Psalm 74, verses 4, 8, and 9. In verse 4, it said, thine enemy rolls in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensign for signs. The 8th verse says, they said in their heart, let us destroy them together. They have burnt up all the synagogues of God in the land. Then verse 9, we see not our sign. There's no more any prophet, neither there among us any that knoweth how long. So the point is, you read that 74th Psalm, the point is, this modern-day society, psychology, science, system, managerial ways, trying to bring the church and the anointing and the wisdom of God is not flowing as it should. Now, what he says in the introduction, we need divine patterns with kingdom structures. I like that. We need divine patterns with kingdom structure, which come from the New Testament, come from the Word of God. He says when we do that, to produce men who can carry the mandate. Number two, to carry the mission. Number three, and carry the message God has given to the senior pastor of his church. Now, you might say in Deuteronomy 34, 9, Numbers 11, 25, 29, you might say, now, Apostle, you come here with this book, reading this book, because I can read this book myself. That's what happened with the scripture. The church has been trying to read apostolic scriptures from just a pastoral point of view, without the government, without the prophetic dimension. So the reason I'm going through it with you is that the ages, I want to catch the ages, and I'll be able to function in it as we study together about how God and his church set up. I know you can read it. I know you can mark it. But by the same token, I got to make sure that we get it in us. For instance, in some of my secular studies behind wealthy men, there are some books tell you don't go to the next chapter until you get the first chapter soaked in you, that you really understand. In other words, stay on it a week, stay on it a month, stay on it a year, whatever it takes to get that in you, because if you go to the second chapter, just read it and mark it and mark it, you really don't have it. So it gave me a format when I'm studying something. I go over and over. I don't know how many times I've read this introduction, because I was led by the Spirit to go there to make sure we get solid foundation in our churches, to remove discouragement, to remove the same old, no production, 10, 15 people coming to church on Sunday morning. I'm aiming that every church have over 100 in attendance on Sunday morning. Now, we got some churches got way more than that. By the same token, I think I had 140 people online last Sunday for last 500, I'm just saying. But my point is, there will be changes that need to be made. I mean, if you've been passing 10, 15, 20 years and haven't seen no changes, well, that's a problem, man. The change got to be made. You got to be willing to follow direction. I guess the original plan of God with my ministry from where I came and where I came from and where I am, there's no doubt about it. God got to help you to get out of a hole like I was in. Okay? Now, it also said we need a structure of the Spirit established on and through the transfer of spiritual legacy. And so I have followed spiritual legacies, and I guess I'm making spiritual legacies in my life now, sharing with you all. And sometimes, you know, everything's not going to hit you just right, but always my aim is to bring you to a position where the change that needs to be made for better production in your life and your ministry is what I'm looking for. He also said we need an impartation of the Holy Spirit transferred to beget sons in the house who can carry on with the legacy of the senior elder or fathers of the house. Now, I think Junior said better than anything else. The way you participate in LTMA, that's the kind of following you're going to have. So it's important that you know you're in training. Do your part. Do the right thing about the leadership in LTMA. And then you can build men and women around you in your ministry that will do the right things about you. Jonathan Davis said, this decade will test not only church growth and those who boast in its emphasis, but also church health and wealth. Wow. Church health and wealth. And you know, we dealt with that some. You know, we deal with wealth. I think a church should be healthy and wealthy. And then I always acknowledge to my minister, if people see you progress and none of them progress, something wrong. So we got to make sure we minister to them and don't leave them so far behind in our lifestyle that they cannot see their way out by watching us. We have to do it gradually. We have to do it wisely. We have to do it being led by the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the problems with the church today is that ministers went too far. They just stopped doing things and buying stuff and wearing stuff and driving cars and too fast. And so we got to get a balance on this thing. And when we get that balance on it, when you get to the position where your church is flowing, and we got some churches in there telling me it's flowing, it's time. It's time for them to go higher. It's time. There are people pushing them, and they got to get on another level. You have to understand that. You have to understand where you are and what you need to do. We see the greatest attack on the religious institution steeped in Babylonian pattern, procedures, and priorities. In other words, going after things, always going after something. Actually, things are supposed to be following you, and all of us know that. Things supposed to be following us. And I think if we synchronize and read his introduction over and over in this book, the apostolic and the prophetic will start moving. The author said the greatest shock is not what has happened in the past, but what will happen in the future, especially in the church institution that have been built as by men of the flesh. Now, that's a lot of fleshly stuff that happened in the church. And when you don't go with it, you look like an oddball. There's a lot of things you have to separate yourself from in order to function in the spirit and function as God desired for you to function. The author planned the last 40 years after the charismatic movement. We have seen the casualties in leadership and the collapse of whole churches built on flesh and human philosophy. So we've got to make sure we check our churches out, check out our. We're not just talking about praying. You know, the question, I pray. Yeah, I know we pray. We all pray. But we've got to do things right. The cross had been replaced by the couch. The power of the Holy Spirit had been explained away. The power and nature of sin had become magnified by those who believe the activities of our relatives in the past can affect us more than the work of the cross. In other words, the cross had not had its central part in our churches today. Even in the charismatic, they belittle the church, the cross, somewhat by calling it a place of defeat. Not all of them, but some did. The author said the truth being revealed to us now will cause the church to increase her internal force to take on greater challenges, and we need to be ready. The church today is being plagued by the false doctrine and the inaccurate perception of kingdom value. The implementation and application of truth is being marred by cultural perception, prejudice, and human philosophy. Just let me read a while, and I'll stop. We desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit to synergize the inner dynamic of the church, propelling the church with a force to influence the city and impact the nation. We must call the body of Christ to become internally strong and healthy. It will put an end to the schemes of the enemy and destroy the influence of four things: of selfishness, of unforgiveness, of offense, of betrayal, and lawlessness. Listen, this seed of Satan caused the church to bleed internally and hemorrhage. It just tearing the church up. The church would be gradually declined because of contention and strife within his wall. The author said the Holy Spirit will give us the spirit of revelation and wisdom so that the church we are building can become a sanctuary for breakthrough believers who are covenant together to become partners in destiny. Notice that. And that's what, when people see that, they become encouraged when they see that the pattern of your messages that you're preaching on Sunday and the midweek service, that it's you're not just trying to act spiritual or say it faith, but you're really ministering to the people. That's what I want from our little church, that we're really ministering to the people, not to their emotion, but ministering to their spirit, soul, and body. It's very important that they can become covenant-minded, covenant partners, and have the breakthrough that they need. As a winning team, we'll be able to enhance the inner dynamic of the church to ride a force to take on the city. The strength of covenant relationship within can also protect one another from the spirit of error and deception as we become more accountable to one another. The spirit of error and deception has to be discerned. People come in, they act good for a while, but you have to always have the discernment. What are they here for? Sometimes people are planted among us to hinder the growth, or they're planted just to get what they want, and you got to watch that. He says, no pastor will be able to finish his God-given assignment without the strong support from men around him. Now, this from the LTMA, we have built a nucleus of men and women. They're surrounding the vision of LTMA, lighting the torches of ministry around the world, and is in a pre-example of how men and women should surround you in your ministry to help you finish the destiny and the vision. It's a divine pattern, what it really is. See, in the future, as it is now, all churches will pursue the power of covenant and discover the wisdom of raising the alarms of honorable men in their midst. And that's what we want to do, raise honorable men. And, you know, we're talking about women also in our midst. So as we have gone over these things this morning, this introduction, the get ready for acceleration, number one. There's no such thing as stunning, can't grow, can't develop. Number two, it's what I had my church to pray Sunday morning. Yielding to quickening grace. Very important. Number three, building our life accurately on the word. Number four, functioning according to the pleasure of his presence. Make sure the Lord present. Number five, putting ourselves in hot pursuit of his purpose. Number six, according to prophetic dimension of his pattern for his house. And number seven, everyone having discerning ears, eyes, and understanding. So you see what we're aiming at doing then, what this impartation is all about, is from that. I want you to read that introduction until you get it down in you, that you will see all these different things that are happening in the church today, what should be in the church and what should be in the church, to show you how to build proper men and women around you who you can trust, that will, you can turn your back on, and that they'll be there for you. You can't, the vision is not designed for you to do by yourself. Now, I had three visions this morning, back to back. One vision was a man was standing on a cliff, and down below it had shallow water and sand. He was way up on that cliff, and I was standing behind him. The man jumped off the cliff into that shallow water. Well, something tell me, jump too. I got to the edge, I looked down. I said, no, this is not right. So I went to try to find another level to jump. And when I was looking for the other level, they brought the man through who had jumped. And his face was bust up, all his body was bust up, bleeding. And so I was not supposed to jump. The second vision, right behind the second vision was, I was standing face to face with another man, and his coat caught on fire, the man who was facing me. Coat caught on fire. But there was a man following him so close that he caught on fire. And the man who was following the man with the coat on fire, he burned up. And sad to say, you cannot follow nobody too close to not have the sun know where they're going. The third aspect of the vision, three vision in about 7 or 8 minutes. The third one was Leroy and I was somewhere, Junior, and I was led to cut a man's arm off. Cut it off almost up to his elbow. I didn't know what it was, but his arm was cut off. And so I rose and I asked the Lord, you know, what's going on here? And he said, all three are the same. He says, when a man's hand cut off, he can't sew and he can't receive. And the man who jumped off the cliff was the same way. Sometimes you think you have it, but you don't have it. And you make a wrong move. And the man on fire, all three of them was about finances and connection. Three dreams. One jump off a cliff, another one burn up, another one was cut off. My point here is not for fear. My point here is for truth to be understood that you can't walk in and walk out and do what you want to follow God. You got to have the tenacity and the boldness and the perception in the spirit why God put you certain places. He's always, if the place is right, he's always trying to get you somewhere. And so I pray that we learn lessons that we pay attention, because my aim and my heart for LTMA is for all of us to grow. Now, another thing God brought to me, there's no such thing as no test to pass. He brought it to me later on this morning. He says, Gideon army, he took them down to the water. They had to pass tests. I found out one time a man told me he had given everything free to his church, and when he gave it to him, he went on the parking lot. They all threw it out in the parking lot. I had done the same thing, but I didn't give it to them free. You couldn't find one on the parking lot. So what I'm saying is challenges are there for a reason. Or any challenge you have in LTMA is there for a reason, is there for a season to get you to the next level. Don't have the wrong concept about LTMA. In my mind, I have only one concept, and that is to embetterment everyone that God called to join to us in the spirit. I want to see your ministry flourishing. I want to see it flowing. I know exactly what to do. I got men with me know what to do. And we are a family. We're not in competition. We're not in division. I want you to know that this is one of the strongest institution or strongest organization I ever seen in my life by you being on the line like you are right now from all over the United States. So let's remember we're not just an organization, we're an organism. And we're alive, we got an assignment from God. Now I want you to read that introduction, and I want you to read the first chapter in the Lounge of Honorable Men, because it's apostolic, it's prophetic dimension, and it's pastoral overseeing. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you at camp meeting. Make it every effort you can to be there. We're going to have a glorious time. In Jesus' name. See you later.
Thank you, sir. That concludes our call. One quick announcement. We're getting ready for camp meeting. We're less than 40 days away, July 8th through the 12th. So we're very excited. We're gearing up around here. We're getting all our We have a Minister of Health workshop we're doing this Saturday to prepare for everything that's going on. So just want to remind you those dates. The service times are 10:30 a.m., 7 p.m. Encourage your people to come. We're putting out a lot of advertisements. As you've seen, Apostles picked up with his output now. So we're putting a lot of things out there. And so the theme this year is the glorious falling. So we're excited and we're prepared for that. So just mark that down. And it's also a first-tier meeting, July 8th through the 12th at camp meeting. Make sure to attend your respective circle calls, and we will talk to you again soon.
Dr. Montrell.
Yes, sir.
This is Pastor A.D. Hatter. This is Pastor A.D. Hatter, Pastor Miller's group. Couldn't get through.
Gotcha, sir.
Can y'all hear me?
Gotcha, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Dr. Montrell.
Yes, sir.
This is Pastor Sheldon Early.
Gotcha. Got your mark, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. God bless you all.